Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of July 23rd, 2019. And this is officially episode number 401. Like I said, it's 401. I always say zero instead of O. And of course, this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And we're also live in chat. I don't know why it was acting a little strange, but that's why I keep the chickens in the freezer. So threw one in the microwave real quick and made a sacrifice, and it's good to go now. So what we do here on live radio to get things going. We have plenty of chickens on hand to sacrifice to the radio gods, because as you know, live radio, anything can happen, and everything does happen on occasion. And speaking of things happening on occasion, I don't know where I'm going with that, but we got a neat little lineup of stories tonight. Unfortunately, yes, we're going to be talking about Area 51. I was kind of hoping the story would go away. I didn't feel like it would last week. It just seemed like it was gaining a lot of momentum. And yes, unfortunately, we're going to be talking about it. At least this week. We'll see what happens next week. And I got a funny feeling it's going to be a story we'll be talking about there towards the end of September as well. Also on tap tonight, I'm going to revisit another story from last week, the Chicago alligator. We've got an update on Chance the Snapper and a few other stories surrounding the Storm Area 51. That we'll tackle here. And sadly, another paranormal celebrity or author or figure has passed away. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So it's getting kind of scary. All these people passing away here in the paranormal the last year or so. But yikes. I guess it happens. It happens everywhere in every field, everywhere you go, I guess, you know, it happens. The more people that are participating or involved in these things, I guess the more you're going to have this stuff happen. And we'll talk about that. And conferences, conventions. I want to talk about some conferences and conventions. I did update the site over the weekend. I've added a few. There's some late breaking new events that are taking place pretty soon. I'll talk about that here as well, but I want to talk about what's coming up this weekend. Well, geez, I guess in the ghost field, nothing. Absolutely nothing. You got the weekend off. I'm sure there's something going on somewhere out there. On my calendar, however, I don't have anything until August. August 9th, to be exact, the Kansas City Paracon, to be precise, in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm sure there's events going on, but I can't be everywhere. I can't do everything. I do my best to bring you as thorough of a list as I can, but you know, I don't have all the time. So you know, this does get sacrificed on the odd occasion, and I'm kind of careful with some events too that I'm a little shaky on whether or not they're going to actually take place. I may not put those on there. No offense to anybody out there, but. Also, I can't be everywhere. I can't look everywhere. That's why I depend on you. Yes, you. I saw you look. Yeah, it's. I need you guys. You guys got to help me out. If you know an event that's happening in your neck of the woods, something that I've not put up there, just let me know. Give me a shout out. You can find me at insider@paranewsinsider.com, email. You can find me at paranewsinsider.com. There's a contact page there. As well, you can find me online, facebook.com/ParanewsInsider. You can find me on Twitter, @ParanewsInsider. Instagram, Paranews Insider. I have my personal Facebook page. I'll even answer you there if I have to. So don't say there's no way to get a hold of me. That I sent the guy an email and he never put it up. If I didn't see it, I don't know about it. I do my best to get this stuff put up as quickly as possible, and I do it all for free. I'm not going to charge anybody anything for listing on this event and the event page. And I'll tell you, this event page gets thousands upon thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of hits, actually, monthly. And this is probably one of the most popular web pages I've ever put up. It gets quite a bit of traffic. So if you want to get your event out there, this is the place you want to do it. It's one of the most thorough and up-to-date lists that you'll find pretty much anywhere on the internet. It's the most copied as well. A lot of people will copy it, and that's fine as long as you give me credit. Those of you that don't give me credit, you know who I am because I've hounded you into taking it down, or at least giving me credit for it, because I do constantly update this. This is updated on an almost weekly basis, sometimes a couple of times a week. I'm adding new events, taking stuff off, moving stuff around as it changes, as these promoters are getting a hold of me and things are changing. You know, I'm constantly updating this site. So that's one reason why I tell people, don't just copy it, because it's going to change. Put a link up there. You know, I'm doing this to help people. And, you know, the more people that try to take it away, and it makes me not want to do it. So don't poke the bear. Plus, I'll come after you. I will come after you. Anyway, UFO events this weekend. The Kecksburg UFO Festival, one of my favorites. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it this weekend. I'm going to miss it. I love going to Kecksburg. It's a really, really good time. It's not just a UFO event. It's beyond that. There's so much going on down there all at the same time. It's just mind-boggling. You're out in the middle of nowhere, but you're going to have more fun than you've had anywhere else. I guarantee you, if you go out there this weekend, July 26th through the 28th, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, great time. Also this weekend is the big event, the MUFON Symposium, celebrating 50 years of MUFON. Yeah, that's this coming weekend in UFO events. And cryptozoology, well, we've got the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference happening July 27th, the Saturday. There it is. Also, the Southern Illinois Bigfoot Conference as well, taking place on July 27th. So if you're in Tennessee, go to the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. If you're anywhere near Marion, Illinois, then you want to go to the Southern Illinois Bigfoot Conference. Get out there. Go to these things. Find out what's going on in your neck of the woods and go have fun. These things are fun. They're not all created equal, but go. You'll learn something. You'll have some fun. You'll get to talk to people with similar interests, and I guarantee you'll find somebody to talk to about something. And there's a lot of great speakers, a lot of people that aren't A-listers, aren't para-celebs. They're not on TV. Maybe they haven't even written a book, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there, and you're not going to meet them sitting behind your keyboard. So pack a bag, go out there and meet these people, enjoy them, listen to them speak, and participate in these events. So it's a great, great time. And one event that was just announced just a few days ago is the Western Pennsylvania Conference on the Unexplained. This is going to be taking place Saturday and Sunday, November 9th and the 10th in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, at the Ramada Greensburg Hotel and Conference Center. I've taken part in earlier versions of this, the Unexplained Conference in Greensburg over the years, but I don't think I'll be at this one. We've got it's put on Eric Altman's really been pushing this. I think he's behind it, personally. I think he is. You're also going to have Ed Kellerman, author, has written quite a few books about the area. Stan Gordon, who is the researcher, a fixture in Western Pennsylvania as far as Bigfoot and UFO culture is concerned. He's been a researcher for over five decades. That's 50 years to you and I. He's been around a long time. Eric Altman, Nick Redfern will also be there as well. Ron Murphy, an excellent writer, an excellent researcher, and the crypto guru. He will be there speaking. Ron's a great guy, extremely knowledgeable, puts on a great presentation. His knowledge in folklore and his ability to research anything and everything is unmatched in the paranormal, I'm telling you. Just find Ron and listen to this guy for a while. You'll be amazed. Also, they're going to have a couple of movies that they're showing. Aaron Dunbar is going to have a Wish for Giants, which I still haven't seen that. I was supposed to watch that at the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure, but I was out in the woods, so I missed it. I've read the book. I've got the book, but I don't want to see the movie. And also that weekend, you can see Invasion on Chestnut Ridge, a movie created by Seth Breedlove, who is the former Cryptozoologist of the Year. So that sounds like a fun event. I don't know if I'll be able to make it out there. I think I work that weekend. I think I'm scheduled, but maybe I'll sneak out there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a two-day event. There's also going to be a tour, a haunted Laurel Highlands bus tour with Ed Kellerman and Ron Murphy. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. That's not all, as they say. Also, Momo, the Missouri Monster by Seth Breedlove will also be showing on, that's on Sunday. Ooh, man, you know what? I think I'm going for that one. I want to see that movie too. Plus a panel discussion at the end. The panel discussions are always fun. Sometimes they get out of hand, but they are fun. So that's the Western Pennsylvania Bigfoot. I'm sure there'll be Bigfoot discussion there, but it's the Western Pennsylvania Conference on the Unexplained, just announced and taking place in just a few months, November 9th and the 10th, in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, a very spooky area. I'll tell you, I spend a lot of time in Western Pennsylvania, especially around this area. And between there and Chestnut Ridge, there is so much history, haunted history, UFOs, not just Kecksburg, but a lot of other stuff, and even weirder stuff that I don't even have time to really get into. A lot of weird, strange stuff. Who is the dogman guy? Nick Redfern? Yeah. Nick does everything. Nick Redfern is like the, he's also a mixed bag of paranormal stuff. A lot of UFO stuff. He's still involved in the Center for Fortean Zoology, which, he started the American branch here probably about 10, 12 years ago, and I was one of the writers and researchers for that when he started that up, so I was very excited about that. So Nick's a fantastic guy. I mean, he's well-rounded, does a lot of different stuff. And what else we got? So yeah, definitely check it out. ParanewsInsider.com, click on the events tab at the top. You can see my list. I forgot. I was going to count them, and I forgot how many events I had. Probably it's got to be well over 100, maybe 150. Or so events, most of which are ghost events, but the way I put them on there, I try to put them in kind of one of three categories. They're either ghost related, they're UFO related, or they're cryptozoological related. But it doesn't mean that you won't find a speaker going to those events on another topic. So don't feel that it's, I'm into ghosts, but I want to see a little bit of cryptozoology. You might see one of those speakers there, and I've done those events this year. I went to a ghost event and I did speak on UFOs, and there was also speakers there talking on cryptozoology. So check these events out. I try to put them in the category in which a majority of the presenters are going to be talking about. So if it's a Bigfoot conference, yeah, you still may have somebody talking about local haunted history or something along those lines, but it's primarily Bigfoot stuff. But don't feel that it's just those topics. Generally, even if it's people aren't speaking on that, if you go, I guarantee you're going to meet somebody that has an interest in those things as well. So Dogman is pretty much everywhere. Really here in Ohio, we take kind of a little bit of credit for Defiance, Ohio, which is in northwestern Ohio. I guess you could say south of Toledo area, for being where the Dogman was spotted here. Although Michigan, the Virginias, the Carolinas. Everyone's seen Dogman somewhere at some point. But it's an interesting topic. But we're not going to get too far into the Dogman, as we're going to get into Area 51. Nah, we're going to hold off on that. We're going to talk cryptid news first, as we always do, and we're going to talk about Chance the Alligator. Now, if you missed that story over the course of, well, I guess it was just last week, over the course of about a week, people had said that they've seen an alligator swimming in a lagoon just west of Chicago, Illinois. And there for a while, people thought this was a myth. It was an urban legend. It was a hoax. It wasn't real. Although people had gotten pictures of it, there was a little bit of videos. People still thought this was not real. Tons of people were turning in, being alive, and just showing up, and people couldn't see it. So they automatically thought this isn't real. But alligator researchers and herpetologists, it's always fun to say that, were also showing up trying to locate this creature. And it took about a week for them to finally pin this little guy down. It's about 4.5-5 feet long. I think he weighed in like 40 pounds. And they did remove it from the lagoon at Humboldt Park. And he did a good job. He escaped, eluded capture long enough for people to start selling T-shirts. That's the marker there. When you know the story is good enough to start selling T-shirts for, you know it's a good story. And that's just really what happened. It was a nice distraction from the weather and some of the other political things unfolding up there in Chicago in the last couple of weeks. Just a nice kind of a feel-good story and a little scary story at the same time. Who wants to see an alligator come trouncing around their street? Unless you live in Florida or Georgia or Louisiana, maybe Mississippi, yeah, I guess Texas. Maybe you kind of, and maybe Oklahoma too. Maybe you come to expect that, but not in Chicago. So the yes, Chance was captured, and the guy who captured it, I think it was Thursday, early Friday morning, he captured it, and Friday evening he got to throw the first pitch out at the Cubs game. But poor Chance the Alligator, he was locked up. He was in Gator Jail. After a short stint in the Gator Jail, he was taken to St. Augustine, Florida, to the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park, where he's at now. I guess that's his retirement home. He's a young alligator. It is better than swimming around. You know, you could say, well, it would have been nice if they'd have just left him alone. Well, he wouldn't have lasted probably more than 3-4 months before the weather started getting a little colder. He wouldn't fare so well. So they did him a favor, got him down there. I'm not sure why they won't completely release him. Alligators don't really get too spoiled like some animals do. If you start feeding a deer, eventually a deer will not be able to survive in the wild. Gators, I don't know, they seem to really get right back into it and adapt to things pretty well. If they can hunt and live on their own, survive. But apparently, they're not taking that chance. He's going to the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park. And it was kind of nice. I didn't see pictures or video of this, but I read this on numerous websites that covered the story. He was greeted in style. There was a banner with his name on it, pizza. I'm sure it was deep dish. It better have been deep dish pizza. And some of Chicago's greatest hits playing at the same time. So he had a welcome party. I guess you can't beat that. Chance will be isolated for about 90 days to be sure he has no illnesses prior to being released to mix and mingle with the other alligators. So far, no one knows who dumped Chance into the lagoon, but luckily, again, it happened in the summer and not in the colder weather or this gator might have had some bigger issues. And question in the chat room, what about Kentucky? Well, I don't think there's alligators in Kentucky, but there are some in Virginia along the coastline where it's a little bit more temperate. There's a small area down there, southeast Virginia. There's some, I guess it's, I don't want to say marsh areas, but it's, there are some gators there, not many. That's scary, though, that they're that far north. People don't realize that. They're a lot closer than you think. North Carolina and part of Virginia there as well. So who knows? The weather keeps getting warmer every year. We might see them swarming around Ohio. Actually, we have a couple of lakes I've kayaked in have stories. I've seen pictures up on the wall of people seeing alligators in some of these reservoirs that I've kayaked in. So you never know. You never know where you're at that you might see one of these things, or a snake that doesn't belong, or some other creature for that matter, such as a wild cat, black panther. You never know. Always keep your eyes peeled. I say that at the end of every show, and there's a reason for that, because you never know what you're going to see. And I guarantee you, you might be ready for it, but you'll never have your camera ready. It's just how it is. Not to make fun of any of these stories, but everyone always says, well, hey, everyone has a phone on them. How come nobody gets videos of this stuff? Well, the next time you see something right out in front of you, I challenge you. See how fast you can film it. Because I guarantee you, you'll be in such awe of watching something happen that you will forget about it. Unless you're filming something else or playing Pokemon Go. I don't know what you do. Anyway, so we've been talking about this Area 51 event for the last couple of weeks, and it kind of hoped it would go away. But unfortunately, no, it's still going. And of course, you knew this was going to happen. It was already kind of happening the last, actually first few days. People were already copying this event, trying to get people to come to their event page, trying to fool the public into thinking that they had been the first ones to do it, even though there was like 10 people liking the page. People always, I don't know why, people feel the need to have people, I don't know, follow them or get attention. I don't understand it, the attention factor, especially on social media. Everybody wants attention. But I remember last week somebody asking if we're going to do a Loch Ness Monster story. And I was thinking, I don't think that they wanted a Loch Ness Monster story. I know some people love the Loch Ness Monster, but those stories get a little boring. It's pretty much the same thing over and over and over again. But yeah, it's been a while since I've done a Loch Ness Monster story, and I think the fans of Nessie are actually getting a little jealous of what's happening over here in the United States out there in Area 51. So what do? Well, you create your own event, right? So an event has been formed on Facebook to storm Loch Ness in order to find the Loch Ness Monster. Makes sense, right? Makes perfect sense. If it works out here in Nevada, it's going to work up in Scotland. Well, thankfully, I mean, this is going to be a very busy week for me. I've canceled all plans. I'm probably taking a vacation that week so I can keep on what's going on in the news. It's going to be a very, very busy week in the paranormal news. Thankfully, they're not doing it the same night as the storm Area 51. They're going to do it the next day. So they're going to storm the Scotland beaches on September 21st at 3 a.m. instead of on the 20th. Oy, it's going to be a long 24 hours. As of Sunday evening, there was about just over 36,000 people interested and about 17,000 people going. Not very impressive. And I checked again about an hour ago. There was about 22,500 people going. That's an awful lot for that area. And about 45,500 interested. And I would say, I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say you're safer engaging in this search over Area 51. So if you're torn between the two, You're able to travel to Scotland instead. I would highly recommend you go there. It's a much better sightseeing adventure. Plenty of water to drink, but it's cold. It's a lot colder. It's going to be very, very warm out there in Area 51 and pretty remote. And all you people that think you're going to put this up on remote and film it for the masses on Facebook Live, I hate to tell you, there is zero cell phone connections out there. You're not going to be able to do anything out there that you think you're going to do. It's pretty remote. It's pretty remote, too. You're going to be walking for hours and getting nowhere. But the Loch Ness Monster situation here, yeah, it's a little bit more interesting to see, but it's still a lot of area to look at. It's a very long, thin lake. And the other problem is Loch Ness averages, and I have not seen this word in a long time, so I actually had to put this in the story. It says that Loch Ness averages about 6 degrees centigrade. I've not seen centigrade in I don't know how long. It's also known as Celsius to a lot of people. And 6 degrees centigrade or Celsius sounds pretty low. Sounds cold. Well, it is cold. It's about just shy of 43 degrees Fahrenheit for those of us here in the United States. And I don't know elsewhere that says Fahrenheit. I think the rest of the world pretty much is Celsius. And I think we're the only people that do Fahrenheit here. But 43 degrees Fahrenheit is pretty cold. And you'll get hypothermia very quick in that. Even if it's 80 degrees outside and you go in and it's 43 degrees of water, yeah, you can die of hypothermia probably in about, I'll give you 10, 12 minutes before you can't swim anymore. On 15 until you drown, pretty much. I'll give you that much time, unless you're wearing a life vest, and I'll give you an extra 6 minutes. But not good weather to swim in. Now, I've used cold water tubs playing sports. You have hot water tubs, but you also have cold water tubs. Cold water tubs are when you... if you're running around, you're playing sports, and you just get done, you jump in the cold tub. It makes your muscles kind of contract, and it helps starts the healing process already. So those are 55 degrees. And I'll tell you, I guess 54 degrees, but I'll tell you what, it feels freezing. You expect to see ice on the surface. It feels that cold. Now, taking away another 10 degrees, I won't swim in that. No way. I won't get into water anything less than 55, even swimming, unless it's about 90 degrees outside. But it doesn't matter how warm it is. If that water is that cold, it's hard for your body to handle that. And Loch Ness is on the northern part of Scotland, so it's a little colder up there all year round. And being in that area, that water draining or coming in from colder sources, and again, pretty deep water, very windy. It doesn't really get that hot there, so the water's cold all year round. Pretty temperate, 6 degrees centigrade, give or take a degree or more, but pretty steady in that area. And deep water doesn't warm up very much. I live near Lake Erie, and that fluctuates anywhere from 32, which is as cold as water can get. I've tried. It only goes to 32. It goes all the way up sometimes in the low 80s. That's a pretty big temperature swing, but it's a shallow area of water. We do get some extreme temperatures here in northeast Ohio, so that's why that water heats up. But Loch Ness, very deep area, and again, it's a pretty narrow and yet long strip of water, and it's in, northern Scotland, so you're not getting that much warm temperatures consistently. You may get a nice high temperature during the day, but at night it's going to chill. It's going to chill down. You get a lot of cold rain. So they've also issued some other warnings about this potential event, and that's because they don't have enough boats. You know, if you have 22,000 people showing up, along Loch Ness, there's not enough boats to rescue people. There's not that much room. And people are going to need rescued. If you jump in that water, I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. But it's a lot better than getting shot at, I guess. So you're probably a little bit better off being a polar bear. Is that what they call those people that jump in the cold water? Polar bears, I think. Yeah. We get those every now and again in Lake Erie in January, February, or March, or April. I mean, it's cold until June, really. Not enough rescue boats in and around Loch Ness. If even a percentage of those people show up and decide to jump in, it's going to be not good. And especially people with no tans. That's really going to be ugly as well. But I really think if people go there, they show up, they go near the lock, I think you're going to get the hint pretty quickly not to jump in there and swim around. So, yes, let's move to UFO news and the Area 51 story. So the Storm Area 51 story, personally to me, I mean, I probably read maybe a few stories every day about it, and some of them are just kind of passed around and redone, but I probably read about 40, 50 stories on this in the last 2 weeks or so. And for me, it's starting to become like the clown pandemic of 2016. And that was a really cool story, but it kind of got blown out of proportion. The media kind of took it and ran with it, made a little bit bigger deal than what it was, and actually made it into a bigger deal than what it could have been. Might have just gone away on its own, but the media had to carry it. And the popularity is really ruining the story. I think it's just really washed it away. And lately, the Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop Us All Facebook event page has been duplicated a number of times by other people. Similar pages using some of the same wording has been created. There's people advertising all over the place on that website. And if you try to read through some of those posts, if you go back more than a day, which good luck, there's probably about 200 to maybe 500 posts put on that website every day. And if you have the time to waste to scroll through that, you'll see the same memes, the same comments, the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, day in, day out. It's the same maybe 50 or 60 things that everyone thinks that when they post it, it's the most original thing ever, because no one's taking the time to read it, because there's just so much garbage on there now. And I do say garbage because it's just so overdone and no one's taking the time to read anything. And it's funny because hundreds of posts on there, no post has more than like 13 or 14 likes and more than maybe 5 or 6 comments. So nothing on there is really that popular. And everyone's just doing it, putting stuff on there just to get attention. That's what it all comes down to, attention. And really, I made this comment last week. I was really happy when the U.S. government initially gave no comment about the story. They didn't say anything. And I think that was the best thing to do. Not adding any unnecessary fuel to the story and stirring it up. But then the Air Force was kind of pressed. And they ended up making an official comment. And right after that official comment, it exploded. They got a lot of attention and much attention. And I think that's all it needed. So unfortunately, it's grown bigger than what it should be. And I don't know. It's just overspilling its boundaries. It shouldn't be. Shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, but it is. And unfortunately, it's gotten bigger than it should be for its britches. And I think that it's really kind of spilling its banks. I don't know if spilling its banks is the right thing to say, but it's over. It's just over. And I think the media is carrying this now. The website is pretty much just a wasteland of comments. And let's see. Question in the chat room. How far away is Area 51 from Skinwalker Ranch? Well, I would have to measure that with, let's see, measure distance. It's probably, let's see. Well, driving, it's over 8 hours, so it's 500 miles driving. And 360 miles as the crow flies. So it's pretty far away. And that's just measuring it really quickly here, pulling up maps. So it's pretty far away. So I don't think the two have anything to do with each other, but you never know. It's only a couple of minutes for a jet to fly that fast. Yeah, when the U.S. Air Force made a comment, and I think the media was pressing for that, that's when the website really blew up. And it really took the numbers multiplied. Right now, well, I want to say right now, I don't think I checked since earlier yesterday, or late yesterday, early today, I forget. It's a blur. 2 million people state that they're going to this event on September 20th of this year. I mean, obviously, that amount of people are not going to descend on Area 51. They're not going to storm Area 51. They're not going to be running through the desert or driving buses with daisies painted on the side and blaring hippie music. I don't know what kids do nowadays. I don't know what they listen to. Probably a lot of weird, strange music. I don't know. But September 20th of this year, there are going to be people down there. Now, I know I said week one and even last week that I doubted too many people would show up. Last week, I was a little bit more convinced that there's going to be some people down there. But now, I guarantee you, there's going to be hundreds of people down there. A lot of people won't be hanging down there long when they realize that they have no Wi-Fi signals. They have no cell phone signal. There's not a lot of gas. Gas is probably going to be sold out down there. If even 100, 200 people show up, there will be no gas for anybody. They're going to be running out of gas. They're going to have to drive the 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours back to Vegas to get any fuel or supplies because there's not going to be that many supplies in that area. People will be gouging. They'll be charging $10, $15, $20 for a bottle of water. It's going to be bad, very bad. There's nowhere to go to the bathroom out there unless you go in the desert, and good luck with that because usually you could use leaves to wipe with, but you're not going to be wanting to use a cactus for that. Sorry. Hotels, motels are all booked. The Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, completely booked. I checked. I have a picture of that too. The website, you look at the website, completely booked for that Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is. Those 2 days, whatever they are, whatever they happen to be. The Little Alien. Booked. I think there's camping sites available if you want. Here's the in the chat room. I have a picture of the Little Alien for September of 2019, and on the 19th and 20th. I'm sorry, Thursday and Friday. Why would they do it Friday night, Saturday morning? I don't know. They have camping available, but the rooms are fully booked. Fully booked, and you look at the rest of the. The rest of the time, you have Labor Day weekend where a few of the units are booked, not all of them, but all of the units are booked on Thursday and Friday. No rooms available. And on Friday, no RV spots. And no RV spots, 5:10 p.m. So all the RV spots, all the rooms are fully booked. There is camping available. That's going to be interesting. If you go camping there, I'm going to tell you, bring a very warm weather sleeping bag. It's cold at night. Very, very cold at night. You're going to think that you're just going to need a little tent and not much to sleep in. I tell you what, it's going to be cold. That weather gets very cold at night out there in the desert. So be prepared for that. Yeah, it's crazy. Las Vegas. If you do some research, I've noticed some of the hotels, motels in the area are also booked. Very big spike in hotel bookings. Flights, some flights happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are completely sold out. So there's a lot of people that have already invested money. I know there's a lot. If you go on the Facebook event page for Storm Area 51, there's a lot of people putting airline tickets on there, pictures, those are all fake. There's you can generate those. There's a couple of websites you can generate a fake ticket. Those are fake. But if you really contact these flight websites like Orbitz and all. They'll tell you that those flights are pretty much booked, and they're starting to gouge for that weekend. I don't know if it's from the popularity. Usually they gouge when the prices are starting to get, or the flights are getting booked. And I've heard some comments that a couple of the flights are completely booked for that weekend from some of the sources that I reached out to. And I'm a big traveler, so I try to reach out to people on occasion for inside information on stuff like that. So Vegas, that's the place to be. Some people are going to other areas. I don't know why, 3-4 hours away. Vegas is the closest venue, and you can find everything you need there. Cheap airfare in and out, fairly big airport. So I don't know why people are going to other places, but that's not where you want to go. You want to go through Vegas. The other issue going on recently with the story is the commercialization of the topic. Numerous people, again, if you go through these websites or these posts on that event website, it's literally hundreds a day. And there are people that are basically spamming all of these comments. There's a really irritating and annoying guy that's putting his YouTube site on there on every single post. You know, three people like the post, and he's putting his YouTube thing on there. Like, dude, no one pays attention to that. But people are trying to get attention, trying to commercialize this, trying to get their name out there, trying to get make any kind of dime they can from this. There's the last count, 15 different places that are selling T-shirts that have just advertised on this site. Let alone, I've seen people on Twitter, on Facebook that are paying for advertising for people to buy official T-shirts, and you don't see air quotes because I don't have video for this. But yeah, people are claiming to have T-shirts, official T-shirts for this. People are selling bumper stickers and emblems and all sorts of stuff for this. It's just out of hand, out of control. And now big corporations are jumping on the bandwagon. So the main purpose of the Storm Area 51 event was not only to find the aliens purportedly hidden on the base, but to free them as well, bring them home. Now, Bud Light tweeted on July 17th, quote, "We'd like to be the first brand to formally announce that we will not be sponsoring the Area 51 event. The Area 51 raid," unquote. And I thought, you know, that's not something that doesn't make sense. Like, why would they say that? But 2 days later, not even 2 days later, they tweeted out another message that quickly went viral. It said, quote, "Screw it. Free Bud Light to any alien that makes it out," unquote. The brand also has a new Twitter profile picture showing a new label for a special edition of Bud Light. It's pretty cool. If you've not seen it, I think it's pretty neat. And if they do actually get this off and they do launch this, hopefully it's nationwide. I mean, I haven't had a Bud Light, I don't know how long. It's not really the greatest tasting of beers, but it does its job, I suppose. And there you go, the chat room. It's a nice black label. It's got a green kind of, you know, where it's normally white on the can, or I guess that's red. Yeah, it would normally be red. The writing is normally white, I think. No, I got that backwards. Just the label is white with red. I can't remember. But the Bud Light is in white, and the most of the can is all black, and it says at the bottom, "We come in peace." And it's kind of cool. It's a really cool looking logo and label. Hopefully they do it, but they've said that they need 51,000 retweets to make the special edition possible. 51, you get it? Area 51, 51,000. Obviously, they want to make sure they're getting enough attention to spend the money on this to actually make these. I'm sure they're in production right now because they're going to make money on it. I'm sure they'll have coolers there. I'm sure they'll have trucks there selling beer. What a great concept to sell beer to a bunch of crazy people that are ready to run onto government property illegally. Yep. So far the pinned tweet I checked it about an hour ago. 39,000 tweets. I'm sorry, retweets. So they got a little bit more to go. And that's they were at like 36 yesterday or Sunday. Sunday or Monday, I forget. But it's slowing down. So I don't think it's going to happen, folks. Don't think it's going to happen. But again, I think too many people are jumping on this, on the bandwagon. And another story dealing with this, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the organizer of the Storm Area 51 event has stepped forward. Maddie Roberts, a 20-year-old Bakersfield, California college student majoring in petroleum engineering, was initially afraid to come forward after the event took off. He said he was worried that the FBI would be knocking on his door. I've had that feeling too, some of the stuff I've done over the years. He said he came up with it on a whim and posted the event back on June 27th. He says it was just meant to be funny and essentially helped come up with a bunch of memes. Now the event has grown larger than he obviously could have imagined. Now of actually storming the base, Roberts says, quote, "Please don't. I don't want anyone to get hurt," unquote. And some news organizations have said, so he's basically called the thing off. It's no longer on. Well, I don't think it was on in the first place. But the Facebook page continues to grow and have posts about people seriously storming this base, still posting things about that. So it's not taken down. It's not shut down. It's still going. It's still growing on its own. Now, I'd say it's a bit too late for this. Can't pull the plug now. This has a life of its own. It's beyond the owner. And I think he's well aware of the fact that many people are taking this just a bit too seriously and have actually made plans to show up in the early hours of September 20th to storm Area 51. You're going to have people who will be running illegally onto this base. I don't know how far they're going to do it. They might just do it just far enough to get attention and then run back to safety before they're arrested. I'm sure the government is going to make quite a bit of money. I think it's, what, $650 for unintentionally crossing the border? Who knows how much it's going to be for doing that? So they're going to make they might make the budget this year just on this these fines alone. He now says he would like to get a bunch of people to go out there to have fun instead. He said, quote, "I want to make it a festival of some sort and have a bunch of musical artists," unquote. He says he's contacted the Little Ailey Inn and knows a lot of people are actually planning to go. Personally, if it were me, I wouldn't do that. Like, it's a bad idea. Very bad idea. Trying to host something and continuing to invite people out there. I think the people that are already showing up are the ones that are actually saying, and he's said this, that people have contacted him via the website and tell him, hey, I'm willing to die for this. Yes, people say they're actually willing to storm this and die to try to find aliens. They really take this that seriously. And he's trying to talk people out of it on a one-on-one basis. But if you're going to try to put on a concert, you know, you get there's a lot of attention-seeking people that are going to be going. Let's cut through it. There's people that want to watch this. There's people that want to live this. But you also got a lot of attention-seeking people that are going to be out there. Not a good idea to put on a party for these people. Because you do that, and not a good idea. You're basically, you're putting yourself out there as liable for anything that happens. I mean, I hate to be a party pooper, but I'd say he's lost control of the Facebook page and the event as a whole. I mean, people are doing their own thing with it. People are coming up with their own stuff. You have groups of people that are showing up. You have groups, I'm telling you, you have groups that are going to storm Area 51, whether people tell them to or not to. You're going to have people getting arrested. And I hate to say it, but you're probably going to have somebody killed over this. And when that happens, what's going to happen? Who's going to get blamed for this? I mean, really and truly, I hate to say it, but I think the smartest thing you can do, you shut it down. Pull the plug on this, or at least put some disclaimers up. I mean, I know he's posted on there that he's not, doesn't support this, and he doesn't want people going out there. It was just a joke. But I think if I were to do it, I would put some disclaimers up quickly. And I certainly would not be inviting people out there for a concert, no matter what it's for. Because, again, you've got people that are seriously talking about going onto government property illegally. That's not something I would want to promote. That's a felony. And to promote that is still a felony. And if people do get killed, I'm sorry if the family goes after anyone. Mr. Roberts is going down. I mean, this is nothing. He started it, and he's admitted that he started this, and he didn't take steps to shut it down. I'm telling you, this is gonna linger on beyond September 20th at this rate, if it continues. Now, there's still a chance that all this fades away. Nobody remembers this come September 20th, and it's just a laughing point. But again, people have invested money in this. So there's people that are going to be there no matter what. Maybe it's just a sightsee. Maybe it's just a watch. The craziness, or maybe they'll just have a party. I don't know. But you're going to have a couple loonies. They're going to want attention, and they're going to do something really, really bad. And hopefully, nobody's injured. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anybody going on this base. It's not worth it. You're not going to find aliens. I mean, maybe they're there, but you're not going to find them. The base is huge. Ginormous. Tunnels, underground tunnels upon underground tunnels. There's places that are locked securely with retinal scanning devices. There's high-tech stuff there. You're not going to get through security there. Now, strangely enough, Marty Roberts has created a website, an official website for the event, and seems to be gearing up for the announcement of sorts in regards to a festival to be officially held in the area. Again, I don't support that. I think that's a bad idea. But we shall see. It's going to linger. I'm sure we'll have more popping up. And another story related to that. I know, it goes on and on and on. Now, I mentioned the Loch Ness Monster storm event at the beginning of the show. And now another one has been created. Storm the Bermuda Triangle. It can't swallow all of us. Crazy. Why? Storm the Bermuda Triangle. It can't swallow us all, I guess. Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, strangely, this one was mentioned by a few different people during the course of the last few weeks on the Area 51 page. People have been putting up memes. They've been talking about this. Hey, next we're going to storm the Bermuda Triangle. So maybe that's where this guy got the idea from. I don't know. Now, just under 20,000 people claim to be going to this one, and another 20,000 plus, of course, are interested and have they probably got to check with mom first to before they commit, apparently, for this. Now, this one is booked for Friday, October 1st. So we've got a little bit of time between our September 20th and September 21st events to kind of get recouped. Maybe you're going to fly out again down to Miami for this one. It takes place all weekend, October 1st, 8 a.m. through Sunday the 3rd at 11 a.m. So you might want to pack a little bit more than just a cooler for this one, and maybe a little bit more than a sleeping bag. Behind the scenes of this event, it's kind of strange. The person who's putting this on says it's a purported charity event. So it's a charitable event. A GoFundMe page has been set up that says it's taking donations for a party that would be set up at Miami Beach at a club, apparently, and will include concerts and boat rentals, among other things. The goal is $175,000. Sounds like a lot of money. But if you've ever been to Miami Beach, that's nothing. That's not even going to get you a spot on the beach. I mean, seriously, it's $175,000 doesn't go very far in that area. It's not cheap. Well, there's not a whole lot of real estate down there to buy and barter, but you can probably rent the facility that they're trying to get for a few hundred dollars a night, but I don't know about the whole weekend. It's going to cost you a pretty penny. Plans are to rent a venue and have bands play, and you better hope they do it for free. Do it for publicity, because it's probably a few grand for each band that wants to play. Granted, they're going to get a lot of attention, maybe. The event organizer says that an optional $5 donation will be accepted at the door, or a mandatory 3-can donation for the canned food drive to support families affected by tropical storms. Well, that sounds great. I like that. But strangely, that's what the GoFundMe page says, but the Facebook site says that proceeds will be donated to cancer research and Wildlife Foundation as well. Whatever Wildlife Foundation is, well, there's plenty of those. I don't know which one they're talking about. And that is a completely free event. So if it's completely free, there should be no forced donation or to give anything. So I'm confused by this. It's a little misleading. It's a mixed message. It's a great idea and kind of a somewhat smart move to piggyback off the success of the Area 51 event, but it doesn't seem very well thought out. And the planning seems like an afterthought, like you're just kind of making it up as we go. And I do think the message is lost with so many other things coming out about this jumping on this storm something approach. It's too washed out. And it speaks for itself. You go to the GoFundMe page. So far, the event has generated only $115 in 9 days. Again, $175,000 is the goal. $115. Great idea. But I'd say it's storming the Bermuda Triangle. That event is definitely lost at sea. Don't laugh. That's fine. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Very dry humor. So maybe it dries up the Bermuda Triangle. Anyway, thing here to cover in the news, ghost news. I'll put it under ghost news, although this person is really in every field of the paranormal. Very sad news to report this week. Another prominent pioneer in the paranormal has passed away at age 69. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, a staple on the paranormal conference scene, specifically here on the East Coast, an author, co-author of at least 65 books, a true paranormal researcher. She was involved in plenty of different varieties of areas of the ghost field, UFOs, cryptozoology, and she was the executive editor of Fate magazine, among many other accomplishments. A lot of things she's been involved with over the last few years, even. I mean, a staple in the paranormal. She'd just celebrated her birthday 10 days prior to her passing. She passed away on July 18th. And it's sad, and she had been sick for some time. I'd only known about it back in late May, early June, because she didn't make the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure trip, and really didn't know too much about it, unfortunately, but she'd been sick for a while, and there's been no acknowledgement of a cause of death from the family, but I'm sure that they're in a tough place right now, so my thoughts are with them and people who knew Rosemary. Now, I've had the pleasure of meeting her on a number of occasions. I do a lot of these events, obviously not as many as she's done, but met up with her more than a few times, and I have a few of her books. I think I've only purchased two directly from her, though. The last being at an event back in, I think it was November of 2017 at the Bedford Springs Resort in Pennsylvania. She helped take place in a seance, which was pretty cool, with Margaret Bile, who is, she's in possession, no pun intended, of equipment used by the Philip experiment, the famous Philip experiment from Toronto. If you don't know about that, and you're a ghost researcher, well, shame on you. You should know about that. But sadly, I think I was only at one more event with her since then, and I know I didn't get a chance to really talk to her too much, other than saying hello. You know, and it's you don't know when these things are going to happen, so it's it's kind of, I don't want to say shocking, but completely unexpected for me to read about this a few days ago. And it's just really now hitting the mainstream. news out there for everybody. The family was really not wanting it to get too far out there. But I'll tell you what, like Stanton Friedman, you know, Rosemary Ellen Galley might not be a household name, but she definitely did have an impact on the paranormal, and her loss will definitely be felt. So with that, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.